in the dark, I fed my dreams. Permaculture flows like sweet streams. I'm the daddy breath of no house. Great in the world like it's meant to be. Permaculture, B-I-R-B, I'm the king. Back to love in everything. Bring a change, making it last.
Welcome to episode 485 of the Permaculture Pimp Cast, where pimp stands for permaculture is my passion. The only pimp cast on this earth that discusses permaculture, preparedness, practical living, and sometimes prostitutes. Well, what a busy, busy Thursday. Man, this has been one for the books, no doubt on my end. Oh, my goodness, son, how you doing?
I was about to say the same thing for a Thursday. Yeah, it's been busy and hectic, and everywhere outside smells like dog poop right now for some reason. I don't know what's going on, but it ain't helping.
Well, I think they're doubling down on the spraying they're doing right now because your mom's been tasting metal all day. So if anybody else is having that phenomenon, please let us know. I mean, that's usually a sign of some kind of radiation that they're doing. We have ways to mitigate some of this stuff, but man, I just can't even believe this is the world I'm living in. Well, this episode, as always, brought to you by the Sovereign Health Summit. That's going to be October 27th through the 31st. Get your tickets, folks. TPC will get you 5% off. Also, myredlight.com, BB25 will get you squared away on any it'll get you 25% off on any single item. And then BB30 will get you 30% on any bundled items. And given the way that most people are being blocked out right now with the sun, might not be a bad idea to have a plan B going, if you know what I'm talking about. Oh, my goodness, son. I'm out here. Man, I'll just jump right into the farm news right off the bat. I'm out here driving these ground rods, and I got to put in a ground field, which isn't the same as just putting a single ground rod like they do on most houses.
Right.
This one here requires, in this particular case, I'm going to need 3 ground rods. They're going to be about, in this case, maybe 8 feet apart from one another, and they're going to be tied together with number 6 soft-drawn copper. So, that being the case, it is going to be installed for this device that I'm not yet ready to talk about, but it has to have superb grounding, meaning that little method that I taught everybody before about driving a ground rod with water, I can do that to a certain extent, but then I got to pound it the rest of the way. So that brings me into what I was doing today. And I'm out here in full sun, out here pounding ground rods with a sledgehammer. And this last one, it's not the last one because I got to go buy one more ground rod. I thought I had enough, but I didn't. So I'm out here driving this thing with a doggone,
rock.
Yeah,
I know you're going through rock. You're on a mountain. I know you're going through rock.
I'm hitting rock all the way, and it never happens at first. No matter what you do, the last part of every project, I don't know if it's just me, but every part of every project you ever do is always going to be absolutely frustrating on those last couple of inches. So I got about maybe another 6 inches to go on this thing, and I know for a fact I'm hitting rock because my sledgehammer is bouncing right back at me. So just try to drive on through it. But man, I must have put 1,000 hits on these rods so far, and I still got one more to go, but goodness.
On that note, is it possible for you to pound them in at an angle or sideways to an extent, or do they need to go straight up and down?
You can do it that way. There is actually, and some, by the way, your sound is a little bit off. You might do that thing that you do that kind of straightens it out. It sounds like you're echoey in the bottom of a cavern somewhere. So yeah, you can do that. There are ways, if you look in the National Electric Code book, there are applications where you can lay a ground rod sideways. You can do it that way. But, you know, I if there's any opportunity at all, you want to drive it all the way through, you're going to get better ground conductivity for the people out there that are doing this sort of thing. So in my particular case, it's, you know, I'm using, there's this device. I don't even know if I can get away with saying what it is. You've heard people talk about Tesla devices and stuff like that. Todd Pittner, who's a co-host with Mike Adams, he was the initial one to tell me about it. And then Flat Earth Dave, I had him on the show. He was talking about this thing too. And apparently it does wonders for a whole lot of people out there, but the grounding has got to be on point with this thing. And so, you know, being a journeyman electrician, this is totally in my wheelhouse. And Todd, I don't know what it costs, but I mean, for most people to do what I'm doing right now, probably cost a small fortune these days. But, you know, in the future, I'll tell everybody how I did it. And, you know, I don't talk about these things to any extent until I get them squared away and I try them out myself. So we'll just have to see how this thing goes. Also, some other news. I got a little letter in the mail from my grandbaby for my birthday. She heard a little birthday card. Cutest little thing in the world, her little handprint.
Now, and Emily wanted me to make sure that you knew that she did most of the decorating. And June is the one that wrote "I love you, Grandpa" on the card too. Emily helped her with it, but she did most of the decorating and all the writing.
Well,
for the most part,
that made my day. I came in, man, I was sweaty. I mean, folks, I will not have to get in the sauna today. I mean, I came in and I saw that thing, and I was just so happy. So, you know, kudos to my little grandbaby out there. Other things we got going on around here: sheep are up in the mountains. And this time of year, they have got to move, even though I could slow it down a little bit because the rain's kind of eased up a little bit. It's kind of sparse where they are, so they're going to be on a daily move. And believe it or not, having to feed just one bale of hay in each day in this location where they are, because there is just simply nothing for them to eat for the most part. So, yeah, that's going to mean me taking a bale of hay and sticking it out there. One bale per paddock is not the end of the world, so I might go through... Honestly, I might go through three bales total on this move, which isn't the end of the world, but it's a transition thing. So, folks, if you got to do that sort of thing, that's fine. Other things we got going on, man, we got, oh, shoot, man, we're pulling off apples, and they taste absolutely fabulous, even better, I think, than the ones in the local orchard, because I'll tell you what we're not doing. We're not spraying junk on any of this stuff, folks. So you hear me talk about the local orchards and stuff like that. Well, Stefan Subkoviak, if you don't know who that is, the permaculture orchard fame, man, I forget how many times that he told me that most of these orchards spray throughout the year. And it is every awful thing that you don't want to put in your body. But hey, man, I am out here getting it done with these guys, and I'm probably going to have to freeze dry a fair portion of them. Because when you'll find out that a lot of food out there that you grow, this is that tough part of it. It's always putting up the harvest. It's not even growing the stuff. It's, you know, making time to go out there and pick, and then what you do with it thereafter. I mean, if you're running a farmer's market or something like that, yeah, you got a way to get rid of it. But when you're doing it at the house, you have got to be able to have a plan B. So what I'm going to do, I got a little apple peeler that we got from one of the local orchards. It's a little handheld number. And what it does, it has like a corkscrew thing where it peels off the skin on the outside and the inside core of it, you know, it'll take the core out. Then you can, it's already kind of, you know, sliced up for you. So all I do is put it on a freeze dryer tray and then freeze it and then stick it in the freeze dryer. But what I'll do with the cores, if, you know, I could give some to the chickens, they'll absolutely love that. Or I could take those cores along with those skins and make my own apple cider vinegar, which is exactly what I'm going to do. So, you know, take a little bit better care of it than I did the last time out. Plus, I am pretty happy about the fact that there is no junk on it. Plus, we got these apple trees over here by the local college that all these kids are walking by every single day. I'll go over there and probably go clean up on that one here before too long. It usually, those trees aren't usually ready until it gets a little colder, but you know, fantastic apples, and nobody wants them for the most part. So folks, remember, right now it's that time of year where if you have a compost pile, make sure you keep water on it. as something I'm having to make sure I put on my list of things to do. And then also for the people out there that have bought those EMF Rocks grounding bags, make sure this is part of that maintenance you got to keep up with. Make sure you put them outside in full sun on the ground. You know, if nothing else, put them on the ground, let them recharge. So I usually do it every other day. You don't have to do it. I can't remember what the instruction said. You'll probably have to go to the website, but if I'm not mistaken, it's probably every 6 weeks or so. It might even be there on the bag, but I do mine every other day. In fact, I'll trade out the ones on the router and the ones on the air purifier that we have, and I'll pick the ones that were on the bed, put them there, and then the ones that were there, I put them outside on the ground. Son, I see you looking.
Yeah, this one didn't say anything about how frequently you need to go charge it or anything like that, but yeah, maybe it says on the box.
It's on the website.
Yeah.
On EMF Rocks, but make sure, you know, all that maintenance, make sure you stay on top of it. And then finally on my end, almost finally, folks, make sure you stay on your knees for all the people out there who are suffering in a massive way. I can't even tell you how many people I'm coming across or people that are writing on my X feed or on YouTube or even privately. And I know a lot of you out in the audience, and there is not a person in the sound of my voice that isn't feeling it right now. The inflation is off the charts. I think Redacted News said that the inflation on ground beef or beef in general went up 9% from, what was it? Yeah, 9% from July to August. That is 9% in a month on just one item. But everybody's feeling it everywhere. Like your mom said today, it should not cost 10 bucks to buy a bag of decent granola. It shouldn't cost that. So everybody, look, y'all, stay in prayers because, you know, it's really, really tough for a whole lot of folks out there. I can't even imagine what it's like for a lot of the folks that I see on fixed incomes. Although it doesn't seem to, you know, lower the amount of soda usage out there, man, because no matter what cart you pass in the store, man, it's like everybody's hurting, but boy, they sure got money for soda, which, I mean, folks, it's the worst thing in the world you could be drinking, especially right now when Dr. Will Spencer sent me this latest thing about this little union between Microsoft and Coke and Pepsi. And I haven't done the research on this, but I have no doubt that it's actually correct, that they're putting all kinds of, you know, micro things in there, in these soda, in these soft drinks and stuff like that. So just keep that in mind, man, and stay in prayer also for all these cattlemen and women out there. Because what's going on right now with this, bringing in this idiotic beef that they have out there, this is too stupid to be stupid. Folks, I am 100% convinced that the powers that shouldn't be that run this country right now, they are absolutely trying to starve us out. And you see it happening in a big, big way. Son, let me kick it on over to you.
Yeah, well, first off, I wanted to start off by saying your interview came out with Mike Adams on the 31st, if anybody was wondering. I just listened to it earlier today because I got a message from Mike Adams' assistant, and then it reminded me. I was like, oh, wow, I still haven't seen that interview. It's the August 31st episode. You won't see it like in the beginning of the title, but click on it, and you'll see it at the end of the title. I thought you did fantastic. I thought it was an awesome interview. It sounded like three friends were doing a podcast together. This is what it sounded like. And some of Dad's sayings, Mike Adams didn't know what to do with. Like, for example, happy as a puppy with two Peters. Mike Adams didn't know what that meant or anything like that. So it was a funny podcast. You guys will enjoy it. So definitely check it out. But as far as farm news, I told Dad earlier in the podcast that it smells like dog poop outside. Like, it just collect, like, no matter where you go, it's not like, oh, I was stepping in a pile of dog poop and then I smelled dog poop after that. No, I went in the front yard. I went up to the side. I went like kind of all over, and everywhere it smells like dog poop. And there are no dogs in like the direction that the wind is coming from. It's just a field. And there weren't like a pack of dogs that came through and just pooped through that field or anything like that. So I don't know what's going on. I don't know if they switched up the spray mixture or what, or if this is like the practical joke spray or something like that. But it smells like straight up dog poop outside. And yeah, I wonder if
Now we are right on the edge of that hurricane. We're not getting any rain, but we're like right on the edge of it. I think it hit like Tyler and Dallas and stuff like that. I wonder if it smells like dog poop over there, like the people who were affected by the hurricane and everything. I don't know. Be curious to find out though. But as far as here, my sweet potatoes are blowing up everywhere. I planted sweet potatoes. I got vines going all over the place. I'll be going to Midwest Preparedness next week. That's going to be in Kansas. So if you're in Kansas, come out to Midwest Preparedness. And if you're close to Kansas, it's definitely a festival worth going to. That's for sure. And then my moringa, one of my moringa trees is taller than I can reach out in the backyard. It is taller than I can reach right now. And it's only a couple of months in the ground. So that's pretty cool. This thing is a very, very fast growing tree. And all the other trees aren't far behind it. It's just the tallest one is like a couple of feet past what I can reach. And then also I found out some dirt. I don't want to go about how I found out about this dirt because I'm not trying to snitch on anybody. But I come to find out that, A, we have some data centers coming in. And they were approved by the commissioners who all signed NDAs. But what's interesting about it is that there have been multiple very large businesses. For example, Toyota was wanting to come in and set up a plant not far from me here in Texas.
Where at, son? Where are they talking about setting these up?
Well, I'm in Bowie County, basically. Bowie County is the affected area of these particular commissioners. So in Bowie County, they were thinking about setting up, Toyota was trying to come in and install a plant, which would be tons of jobs around here. And then after that, they said no to that. The commissioner said no to that. Too much infrastructure was required to do that. Ridiculous. But, and then after that, Buc-ee's came in and they wanted to set up Buc-ee's over in New Boston, Texas, which could probably be one of the best things happening to New Boston, Texas, as far as like reviving that town, bringing in like income, bringing in jobs. Like Buc-ee surprisingly pays well for, like, you would think working at a gas station, which is what Buc-ee's is, wouldn't pay that well. But Buc-ee's posts like how much they pay. And I think the minimum wage there, something like that, is like $18 or something. And things like that. Commissioner said no to that too, because it would require too much infrastructure. But all of the commissioners unanimously were all down for these data centers that came in out of nowhere. Even though those data centers require way more infrastructure than the, what costs more? Rehabilitating existing infrastructure or building brand new infrastructure in raw land, like the land is not developed or anything like that. Well, the commissioners approved the data center and none of them really want to talk about it. They signed NDAs and I don't even know if they can fully admit that they signed NDAs. It was kind of leaked by one of the commissioners not paying attention to what he was saying. So yeah, that's what's going on here.
Well, I mean, you know, it reminds me of the book of Psalm. The wicked walk on every side when the vilest men are exalted. The wicked walk on every side when the vilest men are exalted. And that's exactly what we see unfolding right now. I mean, we call good evil and evil good. We have a mom that went out there and murdered three kids. And you got these lunatic women standing alongside of the road. I am absolutely floored, but I'm not surprised. I'm not surprised. I mean, this is exactly, you have commissioners that are supposed to be working on behalf of the people there, and we see it happening over and over and over again. Mark my words, you live in Texas. I guarantee, because I know the mindset down there, you're going to see all those commissioners in brand new trucks. Mark my words, at the very minimum, if it hasn't happened already. That's the first thing they'll spend money on. And I think it's going to be painfully obvious. I mean, we are a country, everybody should read. And I wish, if I'd known you were going to bring that up, I probably would have brought a copy of it. In fact, I probably ought to memorize it. And it's Marcus Tullius Cicero. And it is his speech, at least it's attributed to him during Rome, as Rome was transitioning into an empire. And he had a speech, it was called The Enemy Within. And he was talking about ancient Rome and how, you know, no enemy just on a frontal assault is ever going to do anything to Rome. But the biggest danger for Rome was the enemies within. And that's exactly what we have right now. So, I mean, and he, it's said so eloquently that I think everybody should honestly take that and overlook it. Ask yourself, okay, does your president fit this? You know, I'm memorizing Psalm 10 right now. I'm like two verses away from having it completely memorized. Folks, I'm tempted to recite it right now, to be honest with you, because it's honestly describing perfectly what we see unfolding right now in the United States of amnesia. And the Epstein client list, yeah, it's covered right there in Psalm 10. Our president, who, and all the other so-called elected leaders in there, they're actually selected, all of them fit Psalm 10. Read it for yourself and tell me if I'm wrong. Go out there and check out Psalm 10. Like I said, I'm tempted to quote it right now, but I'll probably do that at another time. But yeah, hearing you talk about this, son, it's, we are, to say we are a nation in decline, and I've told people to do this over and over again, go back there and read that article at lourockwell.com called Schumpeter's Rome, and tell me if it doesn't overlay all the things that happened to Rome, and its decline and fall is everything that we see unfolding right now. People selling out, no consequence. I mean, for crying out loud, the powers that shouldn't be just dropped this. How many millions did they murder with that so-called vaccine? Millions. And there hasn't been anybody pay the piper for it. I'm just still blown away. Is everybody this doped up? Well, if you had a family member get killed by this, that you wouldn't, I ain't even going to say what, you know, I think ought to be done, but you would think that would happen. Go ahead, son.
Like you had brought up before, we just had this vaccine come out, this garbage come out, where a lot of us knew from the get-go that this wasn't any good. But a lot of the ones that recognize this as no good from the get-go are now getting on the trend of the next thing that came, the next injection that came out with these GLP-1s and these peptides and all that crap. They don't know what it is, but it's an easy way. It's a shot way to lose weight and to look a little bit better, they think, at first, until they start looking like a doggone snake. But they go around and start doing that immediately. It's crazy. Like they immediately started trusting the mainstream again as soon as it became slightly beneficial to them.
Wow. Yeah, here it is. Somebody says, your name got dropped on, quite frankly, on his Cultivate Elevate episode. I'll have to check that out. I mean, I'm thankful that somebody's at least recognizing what we're talking about. Billy, are you going to be on tinfoil hat soon? I got to reach out to Sam Tripoli again. I understand he's going at 100 miles an hour as well. So, man, yeah, you talk about wild, man. If I can get on tinfoil hat, man, that is going to be wild. Big fan of those guys. And honestly, I think these comedians, people like Sam Tripoli, I honestly believe that they have a better political analysis than anybody out there. You know why I think that is, son? Because comics, real comics, have to think outside the box. They really have to think outside the box to take something that is whatever going on out there and to be able to rewrap it and make it in a way that's funny. And Sam Tripoli, honestly, I don't know if anybody's keeping score, but that guy has been right on the money for so many different things. I'm a big fan. So if anybody knows Sam personally, I mean, I got his number. So yeah, we'll see if this dude will reach out, because it ain't for lack of trying. But I'll hit him up again to see what happens. All right. So Nessus Hemp, 10% off with promo code PERMA. Don't buy that gas station garbage, y'all. Get the real CBDA out there. I use it every single night. Nessus Hemp, 10% off with promo code PERMA. Also, if you want some of these ball and blue light blockers, Bond Charge, 15% off with promo code PERMA. And then finally, Soil Saviors. Look, if you don't know how to make that biocomplete like we do in terms of compost, you can go ahead and check out Soil Saviors. They will get you squared away. We got a link for that down below. All right, so let's get into some of the good news here. So here's some good news coming out of Texas. Dallas PD to shut down 321 flock cameras after funding pause. Well, I'm going to call that good news. I mean, it is almost laughable in a place like Dallas where you got illegal immigrants using the shoulder as a legit lane. Folks, you want to see the worst drivers you've ever seen in your life. Watch all them illegals going up and down there. you know, you need flock cameras, but you can't seem to nab all these people doing all these crazy things. I mean, it is absolutely a nightmare trying to drive on those interstates in Dallas. So, you know, yeah, they're shutting down 321 of them. That number seems a little bit auspicious. What do you think, son?
Well, I did hear recently that a lot of this flock pushback and stuff like that is contrived, but it's all going to get replaced. Like, once people start banning the flock stuff, they're going to slide in the manufacturer that the cops already use for like tasers and flashlights. Is it like Nexus or something like that? Or or something along those lines, whatever already produces all the stuff for cops, they have their version that they're going to bring right in after the flock, even though like what we're protesting is what the flock camera is doing, not the brand itself. I don't care what it's called. It's what it's doing is the issue. And then also there's a whole aspect of like the flock cameras are less of an issue than the flock, like RFID tracking and everything. That's what nobody seems to be talking about as far as these people that are protesting the flock cameras are saying that they're not using the flock cameras anymore. They're not mentioning anything about the RFID tracking. So
yeah,
something's going on.
I mean, it's probably all the stoplights and the whole nine yards. I mean, with the stuff. And then let's not forget about the bugging devices that all of us seem to, you know, walk around with in our pocket every single day. It's listening to everything you do. It's watching everything you watch. That's one of the big reasons why they came up with that big data center in Bluffdale, Utah. Yeah, they've had cameras and guardrails for decades.
Not in Texas, because they get replaced every week. You know, cameras lasting long at guardrails here in Texas.
Absolutely not. No, that is definitely not happening. All right, so some of this good news here. Let me go on to the next one here. Okay, so this study, food-based hydration may offer more benefits than sports drinks. Okay, I know this goes without speaking, without mentioning it. But yeah, if you can get a lot of your hydration from, you know, things like watermelon or cantaloupe and a number of other things out there, I mean, from your fruit, you're getting, Gerald Pollack talked about the fourth phase of water. And that water you're getting out of these vegetables is going to be light years better than Gatorade. Is garbage, y'all. You should never drink it. You should never drink it. Brian Artist sells something I think is probably the top of the line out there now. It ain't cheap. And it's a lot of times it's not available because it sells out so doggone quick. It's called Hydrate Complete. I don't get paid for saying this. I don't have a discount code. I don't have any of that stuff, but I use it about every single day when I'm out here sweating buckets like I did today, because it's better than anything else out there. But I know how to make things that incorporate a lot of this stuff. But honestly, stay away from the Gatorade and this other garbage out there. You're wasting money. Just go get yourself some fruit, or put some salt and some water along with a little bit of lemon. Makes all the difference. I didn't realize how far ahead my dad was when he was doing this years ago. I mean, absolutely years ago. He was doing that about the salt. Although he did end up kind of, you know, walking his way into the mainstream medical out there when it comes to salt usage. Look, I'm 180 degrees out of phase with that. The good Lord put it on here on this planet for a reason. In fact, if you get rushed to the medical emergency center, the first thing they're going to do is hit you with a bunch of salt.
That's before they even figure out what's happening.
Yeah. First thing they're going to do is hit you up with a bunch of salt. So everything you're being told, these MDs, y'all, especially in light of COVID, most of these people are freaking, they're as bad as politicians. They really are. And that's why I can't stand most of them. There's a few good ones out there, but not many. All right, so the final one here, 7 fruit sources of potassium cited for blood pressure support. Okay, in a nutshell, that's going to be the avocado, guava, banana. You know, there's a lot of these that, you know, are not necessarily going to be in your region, but if you partake sparingly, it's probably not a bad idea. Pomegranate, apricots, honeydew, kiwi, you know, they add a variety with all these benefits out there. So if you're needing potassium out there, it's a good way to take it in, y'all. So be sure to check that stuff out. All right, Eric is going at 100 miles an hour these days, so he's not been able to, I mean, it's like everybody out there, man. Everybody is having to do double duty for everything it is they're doing, and Eric is definitely no exception, so, you know, can't wait to hear some of his wisdom maybe the next time around. All right, y'all, EMP Shield, $50 off with promo code PERMA. Look, the way the world's getting right now, man, we got a lot of podcasters, and the number is absolutely astonishing, that are talking about that World War III has kicked off. Now, whether or not they use nukes, that's going to be something else entirely. The way these lunatics are talking, it seems like a foregone conclusion at some point. I don't know. Either way, EMP Shield, $50 off with promo code permanent. Your still number one greatest threat is going to be a lightning strike. So if no other reason, have it for that. And then you can put them on your vehicles the whole nine yards. Look, you're not going to the club if something jumps off. You're going home or to your bug out location. And you can be one of the few people out there that's able to do it. EMP Shield, $50 off with promo code PERMA. All right, son, we're going to jump right into this. Name of this one's going to be as America has a food security issue problem disguised as a farm problem. Folks, I don't even know where to start with this in so many different ways because this is engineered. I am 100%, son, I don't know where your position is on this, but I believe it's absolutely engineered.
Yeah, absolutely. What I did was write down, because there's so many issues. There are so many issues with our food supply. It's hard to like narrow down to like a singular issue. So what I did was write down a bunch of different issues and what we need to do to basically solve those issues, to ensure food security. And just to show that it has no issue with like, it's not an issue with farming. Like, we have more than enough farmland. We have more than enough capability. I remember in the first permaculture design course we took, they talked about like everybody in the world could live in North America perfectly fine if designed correctly. That shows that we're not like, we don't need new farmland. We don't have like a lack of resources problem. We have like a lack of resource management problem. And then also people that don't have our best interest in mind, which is the biggest crux or biggest issue, I think.
Yeah, that goes all the way up and down. I mean, even at the local level, as you were talking about, these people live in that community. Maybe they made enough money to move to a place where they don't have to worry about it. It doesn't matter, folks. The corruption is going all up and down here, but a country at the end of the day isn't secure just because we have aircraft carriers. And if you look at that one that just limped in the service right now, that rust bucket that just rolled in there now, I think it was the Abraham Lincoln. But anyway, aircraft carriers and missiles aren't enough for national security. I mean, if people think about everybody, and I've talked about it over and over and over again, we are all truckitarians, just like the great Max Egan always says. You know, if those trucks stop running for 5 days, everything on those shelves is coming to it's done. Everything is done. The corruption is far and wide up one side and down the other. And there's a reason why I wanted to talk about this, because what happens when all of a sudden 5 days those trucks ain't running? I mean, during COVID, we still had supply trucks rolling in and out for the most part. And we had supply backups, some of which we're still dealing with today. But what happens? So I think we've confused food abundance with food security. I mean, you got 40,000 products in a Walmart, and it creates the illusion of security. It really does. But nobody ever stops to think about the logistical concerns. In fact, Eisenhower, during D-Day, wanted to give something of a Medal of Honor to the most unlikely person. And it was the logistical person who made that happen. That's what most people don't realize. It wasn't just landing the guys on the beaches of Normandy at that time. Everything had to be thought out with incredible diligence. The food supply, how many people were dead, getting rid of those bodies, the body bags, you know, all these other things, the little things, stitches, the medical personnel, all those things. That's why Eisenhower knew, even though I don't have the greatest opinion of Eisenhower, and folks, I can bring you the receipts on that one. Eisenhower was basically a pencil pusher his whole career. He never was a real combat vet. Anyway, where he did get it right is that he recognized that logistics win wars. What do they say? Amateurs talk about tactics. Real soldiers talk about logistics. And that's exactly what won World War II, at least that part of it. The Russians really won World War II. Nobody ever wants to talk about that. The Russians really won it. But our approach, along with Canada and a few others on D-Day, could not have happened without those logistical concerns being addressed. So let me kick it on over to you.
So as far as, it's funny you brought up logistics, because the first thing that I would do, if I were to audit United States of America, I would audit the same way I would an existing farm. I'm going to look at everything going in and out of the borders. What's leaving the borders? What's coming in the borders? Why is it happening? Is there anything that we can do to limit that import as much as possible? Especially if we're doing something as stupid as shipping it out for it to get processed, for it to get shipped back to the United States like they do with the pork industry. That is the dumbest, most inefficient thing you could possibly do. It makes no sense. You might as well just not even raise pigs at that point, because of the energy audit. You're not creating more calories in that example than you are using to like move the system. You're using more calories to maintain that system than you are like producing from that system. So it's a net loss. And you'll find that out with most farms. They're using more calories than what they're actually producing on a particular farm, especially when you calculate the things that they don't calculate. They stop and end at the price of fuels, at the price of fertilizer, at the price of the biocides that they apply, at the price of seed, but they don't take into consideration the acreage loss per year due to erosion, the pollution of the commons, the destruction of the ecosystem. These are all things that they don't charge for, that they don't tax for, and stuff like that. So the first thing that I would do is immediately audit everything that comes in and out of the country. And anybody who developed a system where it goes out and comes back in, firing squad. Because we already know what you were trying to do. On to you, Dad.
Well, that's our government, honestly, making that happen. The whole thing with Smithfield. We sit here, kill these pigs here, send them over to China. Folks don't know this. They get processed and then turn right back and come back. This is the most insane thing I've ever heard in my life. It absolutely is. All right, so I'm going to go to the shrinking cattle herd. You know, it's not just a concern for ranchers and stuff. This should be a concern for just about everybody else out there. I mean, when you stop to consider that all of our cattle inventory right now was already at historic lows, instead of viewing the beef as just another commodity out there like they do. I mean, look at this latest stunt that Trump pulled, bringing in all this beef that nobody even knows where it came from. He openly said he ain't telling you where it came from. We don't even know if it's beef. For all we know, it could be that Soylent Green. I mean, who wants to eat this stuff? But what is it doing for the people out there that have all the breeding stock for these cows? It was already low to begin with. These guys and gals that run this business, folks, I forget what the numbers were of how many we're losing every single day, but now it's through the roof. And as I said at the beginning, 9% increase in beef from July to August, that is insanity to people that already can't afford to put groceries on the table right now. But once that breeding herd disappears, rebuilding them takes years. It doesn't just happen overnight. It takes years, which means you got a beef problem for years. And this is exactly what happens every single time the government gets involved.
Yeah, which I should say, that's also, A, Campbell's already got caught with, not the Soylent Green, but with the fake 3D printed meat.
Oh,
Campbell's
yeah.
already got caught with Good that. And that's in the United States. We're not even like shipping that in. That's already here. And who even knows how long they've already been doing it. But on top of that, what's one of the downsides of cows? Like with El Salvador, they need like a cow industry. It's going to take a couple years before you even get to the point of processing, because it takes cows so long to get to the age of processing weight and things like that. But the next thing that I would do is decentralize the entire food system. There are no more regulations, especially for the small guys. If anything, there should only be regulations on the larger guys, not the small guys, because the larger guys are the ones that that one thing with the lettuce where it's making you poop everywhere, the explosive diarrhea. That wasn't from your local farmer. That wasn't from your next door neighbor that grows lettuce and stuff. That was from the big growers. They're the ones that should experience regulations, not the small guys. The big guys should be under intense scrutiny. The small guys, not so much. So delete all regulations as far as food. Are there going to be some people that get sick at first? Absolutely. But you'll find out immediately who to go to and who to not go to for your food. And I think that would right there would solve a ton of issues right there. Just doing that one thing.
I think a whole lot fewer people would become sick, because when you decentralize your food systems out there, you have multiple chains out there. And then the small producers, because they do care, when you go to McDonald's, what is it, like 1,000 different cows in that one burger?
Best case scenario.
Best case scenario. But you go to a local processor, it's one cow in there. So it's easy to find the source if something, and plus, who even knows? I mean, I don't even think you can call that garbage food. So I'm going to say that here's a big thing. The Haber-Bosch process, which is a result of natural gas processing, that's where most farmers in the United States get all of their nitrogen-based fertilizers, which I think is something we should be trying to wean ourselves off anyway. But anyway, for the most part, modern farming is absolutely addicted to chemicals that the farmers themselves don't even control. I mean, we're talking synthetic fertilizers like I was talking about. Chemicals, diesel, seed, which they can't even produce their own. They got to buy this garbage from Monsanto, most of them, and they're on this chain that they can't get off. How about the equipment that they can't even own? It's all rented, or it's being, I mean, replacement parts, all this stuff are, folks, this is why I'm saying we are on the edge of a freaking tightrope, because all you need is just one of those things to break down. And we got problems. And, you know, maybe not everybody out there should have the mindset of Nancy out here. Says, I'm very seriously planning out my 2027 garden. I can't have animals where I am, but I can eat what I grow, and I will. That, I think that's exactly all of us, to whatever extent we can, should be doing this. And to your point, son, this latest thing that even Joel Salatin came down on Trump in his blog, and I talked about it before. So Trump says, yeah, we're going to make it easier for local guys to be able to process their own meat. I got news for you, idiot. We already could. It's the regulations. This is why I'm saying Trump is the biggest turncoat, probably, and I can qualify this, at this point, honestly, the worst president in the history of this United States of amnesia. Has no qualms at all. I mean, as bad as Obama was, as bad as Biden was, or Clinton, and all these others, I don't know that I've seen somebody try harder to destroy this country right now. You're going to sit here, and son, you know the worst part about it?
What?
Trump sat there and open slap in the face telling us, oh, we're going to make it easier for local farmers to be able to process their own meat. We already could. It's the regulations that are absolutely killing every last one of us out there. Now, I'm not playing by them, ain't going to. And ain't caring about the consequences. Maybe other people should take that same tact as well. But here it is. We got a man that is in that White House openly slapping all the farmers in the face. And half of these retards out there are still in support of this idiot after he did an open slap in the face, not only with the beef thing, but saying, oh, yeah, you can process your own meat. We already could. Yeah, no kidding. Even Joel had some, you know, choice words for him out there, which is, you know, a pretty big, it's a pretty big thing for Joel to actually call him out on stuff like that. So glad he did. And of course, there are retards in his forum that are coming down on Joel. What are you, would you rather have Kamala Harris? Yeah, I actually would at this point, because all these people on the right, these Trump tards, there's no way if Kamala Harris was doing this very same thing, there would be a revolution in this country right now.
Go ahead, son. Yeah. The next thing I would do is, okay, so these insurance, what they mandate these farmers to do, ensures that you get stuck on this constantly buying fertility and stuff like that. For example, not letting your pastures go fallow. If the insurance comes and sees that you let weeds grow on your pastures, that you're not tilling through the winter, I'm talking about from experience with some cornfields that I was helping that were being grown for Tyson over in on the Oklahoma side of the Red River. If they didn't show that the land was being tilled or cultivated or managed in some way, so if they let it go fallow and let weeds grow, they weren't covered that year. So my solution is that the insurance every single year that they do that, every time they have to do that because of the insurance, they have to buy the land that they lose due to erosion every single year, which is about 10 to 40 tons per acre per year, or 0.3 to 0.6 of an inch, about half an inch on average of per acre per year. So if you own 6,000 acres, calculate that times, you know, 10 to 30 tons, that's how much of an insurance check you should receive for having to keep your land in production during the freaking dormant season for you to grow weeds. That you have to burn fuel, you have to destroy the soil, gets you dependent on these chemical fertilizers and these chemical biocides just to kill the pests that come in from a, you know, the symptoms of a sick system. Yeah, we got to start charging the insurance companies for the amount of land that we purchase that we're losing. Otherwise, they won't insure us. So
I'm all for getting the government out of farming completely. No subsidies, no nothing. Get them out completely. And you will see a renaissance like nobody's business. But good point, son. And that brings me to my point, because I was going to talk about drought exposes the real difference between productive land and resilient land. It really does. And, you know, yeah, you get a bumper crop in Nebraska when rainfall's looking good, everything's fine, nobody's setting up fires, there's nothing like that. But what happens, I think the real test is what happens when it doesn't rain consistently. That's when you find out where the bodies are buried in your soil. Because if you have organic matter down there, well, guess what? You captured a whole lot of rain down in that soil. So when you're in drought, it can provide all the moisture your plants need. And when there's too much rain, it can suck it up. I mean, it's like the good Lord knew exactly what he was doing. So I guess that's really on the heels of what you said there. So if you employ management practices that work, rotational grazing, integrating trees, keeping the soil covered, all the things you were just talking about perennial systems and stuff like that. If you just got Uncle Sam out of the way, a lot of farmers would find this a real, real awesome way to deal with the land they have. There's going to be a lot of them that are just plain lazy. Absolutely plain lazy and never going to do anything. They'll just let it go down the river. But you're going to find out also, like Eric said, if he was governor in California, he would put in an army of tractors, earth movers, moving dirt around to capture all the water with earthworks for years. Then you're going to find out what you can really do in terms of, you know, filling aquifers and all these other things. They're a simple, going right back to that Bill Mollison quote, and I've been saying it a lot lately, the problems of this world become more and more complex, but the solutions remain embarrassingly simple.
Yeah. My next one is any government-funded building that has some sort of food program, whether it be like a cafeteria or a lunchroom or anything like that, all has to be sourced, all the food has to be sourced from the property that the government building is on, or from the local surrounding area. So this does a couple of things. The government isn't just buying food from Sysco, which is just funding China. The government now has to support the local economy, returning at least some of the doggone tax money to the people, has to support the local economy and produce and buy the food from the local economy there for that cafeteria. I'm thinking more along the lines of like schools and stuff like that, elementary schools, middle schools, high schools, things like that, even colleges, even government-run colleges. They should all be made, instead of just buying all their crap from Sysco, which is poisoning our children, turning the freaking frogs gay, like Alex Jones is saying, doing the same thing to our children, disrupting their hormones like crazy, all that type of stuff, and also just supporting some other organization that doesn't care about it at all. It's not like it's good quality food. It'd be one thing if they're spending top dollar on good quality food, but they're spending top dollar on stuff that prisons reject. Like prisons won't even take in this food, and then they feed it to the children. So instead of doing that, they now have to support the local economy and or build a system on that property that produces food for those kids on that piece of property. And a lot of the high schools, especially anything rural, high schools, middle schools, elementary schools, they have so much unused land. Like Joel Salatin, he went over to Holton High School in Kansas, and he did an audit for him, and not an audit, but a consultation for him, and told him that they have more than enough land. The school itself has more than enough land to provide all the beef that the school would need all year long. Like the school system, all they would need all year long. And any gaps that needed to be filled in could be filled in by local. Anybody who's been to Holton Kansas knows that it could be filled by the local farmers there, and they'd be happy to do it because they're feeding the kids in the same community. And they rejected it because they didn't want to spend the money it would take to build like a walk-in cooler. From a later conversation I had with Joel, turns out they already had the main infrastructure for the walk-in cooler. They just needed like insulation and then like a Mr. Cool or something like that, some sort of like refrigeration something to actually make it cold in there. So they had like the superstructure and all that stuff built already. They just didn't want to do it. And then I think they threw that money somehow into the football field or something like that, which totally checks out for most of these schools. But yeah. So that, and then another added benefit is that children grow up knowing where their food is. If the food is being produced on the farm, they know that, they know what chicken meat should look like. They know that there should be grain, like grain structure in the actual muscle of the chicken that you're eating. It shouldn't look like some mush or anything like that. And if it is, it shouldn't start off as like a pink substance, like McDonald's version of chicken nuggets and stuff. So they'll actually know what real food is. They'll know what, where real food comes from, and they'll be more likely to maybe pursue that as a future career if they know it's actually, you know, profitable and fulfilling. They'll be more like hands-on with it. Most people, like you said in the I think it was the interview you did with Mike Adams, growing up as a city kid, you didn't even know this was a possibility. Like, this was an option. Living this way was an option. How many kids, if that was the case then, in the 80s, in the 70s, Dad, how much more so now, where like kids are never looking up from their phone? So I think that would solve a lot of issues.
Yeah, great stuff there, son. Folks, let me preface my next one by saying I hate the government. Absolutely hate it. But I'm going to talk out of the other side of my mouth. If you want to give farm subsidies out there, just like they, you know, the only token thing that Maha really has done is turn the food pyramid upside down. Well, maybe farm subsidies should work the same way. Instead of rewarding all these guys to do the worst possible thing to their soil, how about for every operation that you have on that same piece of ground, then you get a subsidy. For example, say you're running cattle out there and that's all you're doing. Okay, well, we're going to drop a little bacon out there if you do a multi-species operation done properly. Let's say it's being chased by chickens. Or maybe you got sheep out there. Or maybe you tie that in with a silvopasture system. Maybe you tie that in with an orchard system. So if you want to give away money, we're giving it away for people that are doing the worst possible thing you could possibly do on land. Flip that on its head and reward them for the amount of abundance that they're able to produce off that same piece of ground. I haven't thought this one all the way through, but I'm just saying, I thought if we flipped the whole notion of what farmers, there's millionaire farmers out there that grow absolutely nothing. And most people don't even know about it.
Yeah.
Guys that are balling in the biggest way possible, and they're doing the worst thing possible to their soil. Flip it on its head. That's one way that would change this thing overnight.
Now, on that note, I knew of a guy that was like gaming the system to an extent. He was growing corn every year, claimed a failed crop, turned all the corn, so got paid by the insurance. Turned the corn into silage and then sold the silage. So he made profit twice for growing nothing. Because the issue with the corn is that it was a failed crop because it didn't have enough heads of corn per stalk to make it worth shipping for animal feed and stuff like that. So he'd get paid for a failed crop and with absolutely no incentive of doing any better because he was making literally millions. He was making millions from that exact system every single year. But yeah, he was. That's an example. But my next one would be no new farmland. Absolutely no new farmland. We have to make the farmland that we've already conquered, we have to make that as efficient as possible before. And I think what we'll find out is that we don't need nearly as much farmland as that we're using right now. Because most of the farmland is going towards corn and soy. And most of that is going towards feedlots and fuel and just being grown because you get paid well for growing it, things like that. So, it's subsidized. You can get like guaranteed check for growing it every single time you grow it, whether it does well or not. whether or not you sell the product, whether you're a good businessman or whether you're not, whether you're a good farmer, whether you're not, all that stuff. So it's just taken care of. But no new farmland. We have to make do with the farmland that we're using right now. We're going to become way more efficient with it. I have not visited a single property, and I don't think the property exists, where it's completely hit max production, where it's completely like hit max production. It can't yield any more from the land. I have not seen that happen. And I don't think it's even possible, because at that point, if we hit a point on a piece of land where we're like, all right, no, this is as much as it could possibly produce, we've stopped learning. We've stopped using different layers. We've stopped researching. We've stopped looking at the data. We've stopped looking and observing nature and things like that. So no new farmland. We need to make do with what we have right now. And I think we're going to end up rewilding a lot of farmland, because we just don't need it anymore. We have an abundance of food. And at that point, once we have an abundance of food, then we can start exporting it to other countries, with the highest priority being on people that don't have access to food, or being intentionally blocked from having access to food. So they become they stay as a dependent society and stuff like that. So that's one of my solutions.
Yeah, I think we could, son, I think that's good stuff in so many different ways. I mean, I think people would prefer to rewild if they couldn't, you know, because, oh my goodness, man, we got so much food is coming out of our ears. And that's exactly the problem we could have with really, really good food. Even, you know, but, well, I was going to go down a rabbit hole. I'm not going to do it. My last one's going to be processing was, is, and almost certainly will be. It's our biggest overlooked bottleneck that most people in government aren't talking about. That idiot Trump. And that's exactly what he is right now, saying, oh, yeah, we'll let local farmers process their own stuff. Okay, get rid of the government red tape, because that's everybody's biggest problem. Get rid of the red tape. Allow John Q. whatever. If T and Amber, my friends, who are working on the Sovereign Health Summit along with us, if they can sit here and process chickens at their farm, take it to the local farmers market, nobody's getting sick, and they're selling it right there, what's the difference between doing chickens or a local beef, or let's say they had a sheep or a pig or whatever the case may be, goats? What is the difference? We can sit here and do poultry up until a point, because there is a number in which you can't produce anymore. You can do poultry, and that's about it. But we can't compete with the bigs out there. So as a consequence, you got farmers over here having to travel hundreds of miles through a limited processing network before the meat ever comes back to the community where it was produced. Allow these guys and gals, because I promise you, my butchering classes would go through the roof if people were allowed to produce, and it's going to be 10 times better for the animal. If you were able to harvest on site, or allow, you know, you got regional slaughterhouses, which we have in North Carolina. But as soon as you cross the border with it, and I live near the border, now it's illegal. Allow mobile processors to go out here and get this stuff done. Local butchers. I mean, there was a time when I was growing up, every town had a butcher shop. Every single town probably had a couple of them. There was this old timer in Kansas City where I learned to process. He was telling me, and he was in his 80s when he was still working for the USDA. He said where he grew up there in Kansas City, there was not a single neighborhood that didn't have a local butcher shop. And it was nostalgic for him to walk into the local pig where I worked to go see, you know, it brought him back to his childhood. Why can't we have that back again? Well, I'll tell you why. Because the bigs are greasing the pockets of the Trump administration, the Obama administration. Look, y'all, it's not a red state, it's not blue state, it's the state against you. Too many people don't realize that. Get rid of that bottleneck, and you will see food abundance like you've never seen before.
Yeah, something that just clicked whenever you were talking about the chickens and how we can produce and process up to 20,000 chickens on our own. Anybody who's processed chickens knows of the animals that you can process at your home. Chickens are one of the ones that are most susceptible to things going wrong. It's poultry. You can't eat it rare. You can't eat it raw, things like that. Like, it's the most susceptible to think of things going wrong. It also is one of the animals that is harder to produce all of its inputs on your property doing it the conventional way versus cows or sheep or like the ruminant animals. Those, you never have to pull. If you do it correctly, you never have to buy anything from off the property in order to support those animals. But those are the ones that you cannot process. There's no like lower limit or there's no upper limit on those. We can't do any of those at the house and then sell that product. I find that a bit interesting because 20,000 chickens, that's a lot of chickens to produce in a year. That's with the intent to sell. Not very many families are eating 20,000 chickens in a year. So that's obviously with the intent to sell. But I wonder if they're trying to give like a bad name to the home producers, knowing that, even though it doesn't happen, knowing that chickens are harder to get right in that processing because they're easier to go bad. They can just be tough if you don't like soak it afterwards right and things like that. I wonder if that was intentional. What do you think?
No, I think you bring up a good point. I think at the end of the day, they know in terms of profit, chickens are just, nobody's really going to think about that. Turkeys, poultry, nobody's going to care. But you got this mark of 20,000. Before all of a sudden you got to go to a processor. We just need to get the government out of the processing, out of farming, out of marriage, out of everything. This is exactly what I was trying to tell these idiot conservatives back when they were talking about gay marriage. I'm like, instead of fighting gay marriage, why don't you say, let's get the government out of marriage altogether. Why is the government even in there? And then lo and behold, everything I predicted came out the way I said it. Why is the government involved in this? Read your constitution. They have no business in any of this. And so, here we are. Dr. Benjamin Rush wanted a food emancipation proclamation, so to speak, back then. And he didn't get it because there was no time in history where this was ever an issue. So Jefferson and Franklin and a number of others said, well, we don't need to put it in there. Well, we're now wishing that we did. Because of people like Benjamin Rush, foresaw exactly the state we are right now. Folks, we got so much abundance around us right now, and it's not being realized because your government, this government, is proactively trying to kill everybody in the sound of my voice. Does that sound a little hyperbolic? No.
Not at all.
It's right on the money. But people are too snooky stupid to realize that I'm telling you the truth.
Yeah, and Doa Haney, maybe. They were saying most places it is legal to sell pet food. Just label your meat packs as pet food and you are golden. The issue is having to do that. That's the issue is having to do that or selling the container and it just so happens to have raw milk in it and stuff like that. Like even if I was buying drugs, it ain't their business. But I'm not buying drugs. I'm buying food. I'm buying milk. I'm buying things that were sold this way not too long ago, just like a generation or two ago. Dad, I think I remember you talking about like when you were growing up and you were little, the milkman still coming.
Yep.
Go ahead.
Yeah, it wasn't that far. It wasn't long ago. When I was a kid, honestly, there were guys that delivered milk on your front porch. There was a box on the front porch. They'd open it up, put the milk or whatever dairy you wanted in there. And just like in the movies, they wore a white hat, white everything. They would sit here and drop this stuff off at your front porch. And if you wanted to go to a grocery store, there really wasn't what you call a supermarket these days. It didn't have like you had to go to a little haberdashery down the street to get this or that. Or you might go over here to this grocery store to get, the bulk of your items, but you had to shop around. And then there was always the farmer's market. Yeah, these are the times everything we see unfolding right now is being done by design, folks. I know a lot of people, I'm talking maybe not to the people in this audience, but when somebody asks me, well, qualify what it is you're saying right now, we are at a point right now that if you ask me that question, I won't even bother answering, even though I could, because if you're asking that question, you won't understand the answer. So I'm not even going to play. So, son, anything else to add?
Yeah, I think you summed it up right there. Just remove government entirely from our food system. And okay, combination of two things. If we remove government entirely from our food system and any government entity like the schools or the military or anything like that, force those entities to support the local food systems, I think that would solve 99% of the food issues here in the United States. And then from then on, at that point, then we can render aid to the surrounding areas after that point.
Yeah, I'm right there with you, man. Until we got grandmas and grandpas to stop flipping coins, figuring out whether or not they're going to eat or take the heart medication. Yeah, forget the foreign aid. I don't care who it's coming from. All right, y'all. Hopefully this was a blessing to you. Until next time, stay alert.
From the smallest sprout to harmony begin in the cycle of life, for the magic's alive.